Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have an extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll find a host of Bible-related videos on various subjects and a host of other Bible-related material that will aid you in your study of God's Word. You can also find out some more information about us out there. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all these services. You will always be warmly received. We want one thing from you, to know your need for God in your life, to have a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. We have been looking at great Bible examples. Today we want to begin looking at the great Bible example of a lady who was a champion of courage. The book of Esther is a captivating story of personal danger, political intrigue, loyalty to God and man, victory over extreme adversity, and the divine providence of God. In the pages of Esther, many lessons concerning courage, conviction, faithfulness, and waiting on God, we can see abundantly made clear. The main character of the book is a young Jewish girl named Esther, raised by her uncle Mordecai following the death of her parents. Queen Vashti has a pivotal role. Haman, the chief minister of King Artaxerxes, is the antagonist in this drama. Esther remains as one of God's greatest heroines since she is a champion of courage. In Esther chapter 1, the king Artaxerxes was throwing a great feast for his governors, his officials, and his servants, and the power of the Persian media, and the nobles, and the princes of the province were with him. And when he showed him the riches of the glory of his kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty for many days, 180 in all. And so after subduing Egypt and Babylon, King Artaxerxes, who reigned over 127 provinces from Ethiopia to India, he held a great feast for the princes of the empire. Some believe this to garner support for his attack on Greece, which he would do 4 years later. The text tells us there were two feasts, that in the third year of the reign, he made a feast for his officials and servants, and that lasted 180 days, as we just read. This was for the princes, and when these days were completed, the king made a feast lasting 7 days for all the people who were present in Shushan, the citadel, from the great to the small, in the court of the garden of the king's palace. Esther 1 and verse 5. This was for the people in Shushan in the citadel. Indications are that the wine flowed in abundance at both of these feasts. With royal wine in abundance, according to the generosity of the king, in accordance with the law, the drinking was not compulsory. For so the king had ordered that all the officers of his household, that they should do according to each man's pleasure, Esther 1, verse 7 and 8. Of course, this would lead to drunkenness. This evil associated with the drinking of alcohol are well documented in both the Old and New Testament if one would care to study and read. In Proverbs 20, verse 1, Proverbs 23, 21 through 35, and 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, as well as 1 Peter 4, verse 1 through 4 in the New Testament. The king called Queen Vashti, his wife, to come and parade her beauty before these drunken men, so he could show her off. She was a very beautiful woman in Esther 1, verse 11. What did she do? But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command brought by these eunuchs. Therefore, the king was furious, and his anger burned within him in Esther 1, and verse 12. Her refusal itself took great courage. The king's word was law. She could have been executed for her act of disobedience. Why she refused, we really cannot say. Some believe that the Persian law forbade her to do what her drunken husband had requested. It could be a matter of modesty, we're really not told. The Apostle Peter wrote that the beauty of woman should not be the outward display, but the inward beauty in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 6. All Christian men and women should be more concerned with the inner beauty than the outer beauty. We should honor Vashti for her refusal to do the wrong thing, even though commanded by the king, who was her husband. She would lose her position, but keep her dignity and her self-respect. Of course, the king was very angry by her actions, and she had been rebuked from him publicly. He apparently loved her, for afterwards, when he sobered up, he was sorry for what he had done in Esther 2 and verse 1. However, what the king did was to make another poor decision while under the influence. He turned to his drunken advisors for counsel how to deal with Queen Vashti's refusal. Queen Vashti had not only wronged the king, but also all the princes and all the people who were in the province of King Ahasuerus. For the queen's behavior will become known to all women, so that they will despise her husband in their eyes when it's reported that the king commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, but she did not come. This very day, the noble ladies of Persia and Media will say to all the king's officials that they have heard the behavior of the queen. Thus, there will be excessive contempt and wrath, verses 16 and 18 of chapter 1. An example and decree must go forth from the king. Let a royal decree go out from him, and let it be recorded in the law of the Persians and the Medes, so that it will not be altered, that Vashti shall come no more before the king, and let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she. When the king's decree, which he will make, is proclaimed throughout all the empire, for it is great, all wives will honor their husbands, both great and small, Esther 1, verse 19 and 20. It immediately became the law of the land. And so the decree was signed, and Queen Vashti would lose her position as queen, and they would have to pick another. Now, how are they going to pick another queen? Well, that comes in chapter number 2. The king was sorry, as I said earlier, for his decisions after the alcohol worn off. His servants did not see why he should be brooding over one woman when he could have any woman in the kingdom to be his new queen. Then let the young woman who pleased the king be queen instead of Vashti. The thing pleased the king, and he did so in Esther 2 and verse 4. A search for the proper woman would now begin. This is when we meet another important character in our story, a man named Mordecai. In Shushan, the citadel, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jer, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Esther 2, verse 5. He took his uncle's daughter when she died, and he took his young cousin, Esther, to raise her as his own daughter in Esther 2, verse 7. Her name would later be changed to Esther, a Persian name, which means star. We are told that Esther was very fair and a very beautiful woman. The search for a new queen was underway. Josephus says it was about 400 women. Others have estimated it may have been as high as 1,000. Esther was among the virgins who had been chosen in Exodus 2, verse 8, who were in the city. Why she was selected being a Jew is just to get into the case of assumptions. The process for these women was very taxing. For one full year, they would prepare for their audience before the king. For 6 months, they would be bathed in elaborate beauty treatments of oil and myrrh. For the next 6 months, they would be fumigated with fumes from cosmetic pots, which saturated every pore of their skin and every hair on their head. Some may have even bathed in these perfume scents. All were given the same treatment to increase their chances before the king in Esther 2, verse 13. All of these women would be added to the king's harem. After the year of preparation, each young woman would be brought to the king to sleep with him. Then they were sent to the permanent house for the king's concubines. They got to spend one night with him, his personal property. Though treated very fairly, they could never marry another man and have a normal life. Still, it was a case of slavery. Now, when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Ahel, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his own daughter, to go into the king, She requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custody of the woman, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her, Esther 2 and verse 15. The king was smitten by her. The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the other virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti in Esther 2 and verse 17. He proclaimed a holiday in the provinces and made a great feast unto Esther in Esther 2 verse 18. Twice we are told that Esther is not to reveal her nationality to anyone. Esther had not revealed to her people or her family, for Mordecai had charged her not to reveal it. Exodus 2, verse 10. Also, that revelation is seen in Esther 2, verse 20. Esther, though a grown woman, obeyed the instructions of the man who had raised her as his daughter. And so, in the first two chapters of the book of Esther, we see some very important lessons. We see lessons that are positive and some that are negative. One of the lessons we see in the negative is the effects of alcohol. Alcohol puts men in stupor without reason, without thought, and they do things that they're not given very much thought, and they do things that are foolish. That's what happened to the king. The king foolishly, in a drunken state, sought to parade his wife's beauty before a bunch of drunken officials, and she refused to do so out of modesty or whatever reason she had. And because of her modesty and because of her integrity, she lost her position as queen, but she kept her dignity. That's a lesson that we can all learn from. One of the negative things is why we should stay and refrain from alcohol, because it intoxicates our mind and our ability to reason and to think and make good decisions. The other lesson that's a good lesson is the lesson on modesty, that God wants women to have inner beauty, not outer beauty. Read 1 Peter. The woman is to make her appearance not simply being an outward beauty, but an inner beauty that is very precious and godly in the sight of God. And so there's nothing wrong with having outer beauty, and there's nothing wrong with being a beautiful woman. But when beautiful women need to be very careful that they don't allow that beauty, that outward beauty, to confuse them and think that's what's more important. They should worry more about their character and about what God would have them be in the presence of not only their husbands, but in the presence of other men. In chapter number 2, we see the wise daughter, Esther, who obeys the instructions of the man that raised her as her father. And she did not tell her nationality. She found favor in the sight of the eunuch that was the head of the harem, over all the virgins that would be brought before the king. And because of her beauty and also because of the way she carried herself, the king loved her more than all the other virgins that he had been with, and he chose her to be queen. And so at the end of chapter 2, she is now queen instead of Vashti. Now that will set the table for our next lesson, when what will happen as she becomes the queen, and she will be put in a position that she can be of great help to God's people. And let us see what she does. And one other thing, we need to keep in mind that God's name is not